madness.
With 900 years old, you reach Lucasfilm, you are not.
Nerf herder.
I am a Jedi.
It's a little short for a stormtrooper.
We have what they grow beyond.
Welcome back to the Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast. Alongside Ryan and Sam, I am Mike, sadly without Chris this week, which means you know we're going to have a variety of impressions of Chris to go through. Coming up in this edition of the podcast, we're going to talk about the fact that there still has not been a name released. No title for Episode 9, no trailer yet, no inkling of what we have coming up at the end of the year from J.J. Abrams and company. And then we'll also get into a little bit more of the speculation for Episode 9 and what we saw during the Super Bowl that we didn't see. We didn't see the Star Wars side of things, but we did see information. We saw trailers for Captain Marvel and the Avengers Endgame, and we'll get a little bit more news for Galaxy's Edge. But before we get into all of that, let's get things started. Ryan, you took some hits last week. I'm surprised to see you back here after some of the commentary that went on without you being part of the podcast.
It really speaks to my lack of self-respect that I've returned. My lovely wife said, hey, Ryan, it's so nice that your friends can, they love you so much and they know you so well that they could poke fun at you. And I thought that's nice. She listened to it before I did. And then I listened to the podcast and I gotta say, I think it pushed over the edge of nice a little bit. And I wasn't seeing it the way she was seeing it. So, I don't want to declare all out war on my co-hosts, but, you know, it might be something that happens by the end of the hour.
How was St. Louis, though?
St. Louis is really good. As we spoke, we watched the Super Bowl all together, and I mentioned that there's a Mexican restaurant in St. Louis that I enjoy very much. You know, if you're looking for good Mexican food, you go to St. Louis. So I was happy that I could pay a visit to there and see the Ark, the Arch of the Covenant.
Well, just make sure to submit your expenses for our reconciliation, for our bill.
Yeah,
pay.
I hope this is. I'm hoping Petty. The whole time, every time I spent a dollar, I thought I hope this could be a write off at least.
This has turned into a fully functional podcast with many, many different elements and layers, and that's why you do get reimbursed when you make your travel, and anything connected to Star Wars does come up.
Yeah, I just use the company card.
That company card is provided by you, the listener. Thank you for your generous donations that you've given to our non-existent Patreon. Maybe one day we'll get that up and running.
Mm-hmm. Once we make it Droid Heads LLC.
Don't go looking for it. Like, yeah, there's not one. If you're listening thinking, oh, I didn't there's know not there one were. Yet. No, we're, it, you know, that's the pipe dream, you know? One day, maybe even we can have a Patreon.
Without Chris here on this episode, I mean, I have to say,
I'm here. I'm just going to let Sam talk for me sometimes. So I'm not feeling super well, guys, but hi to all the droid heads.
Oh, Chris, glad to have you. Thanks for jumping in. But yeah, you don't look so great, man, since you're here sitting next to me. So, you know, I'll definitely share what you're writing down on this notepad.
It started off as a joke against Chris, but now I'm afraid that Sam might be the person who comes out scathed. We're watching the deterioration of a man's psyche.
I have to say that there's one reason why I'm never missing an episode. I don't want to know what the impersonation of me is that all of you will bring to the table. So that's why I'm here every week.
Yeah, I do take a little bit of a beef that Sam, I don't know if the... I feel like the essence of what I would have said, which is that I love the prequels, was accurate, but it really just was, I mean, feel free to agree with him, I suppose. It was just him doing an obnoxious voice, just any old obnoxious voice, not even mine. I believe it was something like, oh, yeah, I like the prequels, oh, yeah, which maybe is how I sound. I don't know.
Well, now, hearing
it's a question for my therapist, I suppose.
We can check the tape and go back.
I mean, I do think I sounded like a lot like what you just did, but
that's true.
I'll admit, Ryan, I was unprepared. I wasn't thinking this was a.
We never lived together, Sam.
You
have all the tools.
You sounded like Ryan doing an impression of you doing an impression of Ryan
in the future from when he did it.
Yeah, I mean, that's skill.
He incepted me.
You guys have seen Terminator, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen Terminator. Yeah.
It was just a time travel reference.
Oh, okay. That was that's I thought your, you had more that's your that. Time travel reference always is Terminator.
Yeah, man. What am I going to what other I can name a single other movie that deals with time travel.
I love it when the Terminator jumps.
You mean Hot Tub Time Machine?
I love it when the Terminator jumps into that hot tub,
Mike,
and kicks it up to 88 miles an hour.
Name one other movie, Mike, besides Terminator and Hot Tub Time Machine that have to do with time travel.
I'll tell you what has a lot to do with time travel is a little video game that came out a few weeks ago that we're going to talk about later in the hour.
That's a nice tease. That's a good tease.
Oh, what do you guys think it is?
What was that movie with Donald Gleason, a Hux, where he traveled back in time all the time to woo Rachel McAdams?
It's called About Time.
There it is. Yeah, there is another one
trailer,
for you.
The trailer, here's what I'll say about it. Now this is getting serious, Mike. Here's what I'll say about that movie. The trailer made it seem like it was a creepier movie. Like he was being a creep, you know, because he was like using his time travel to like woo Rachel McAdams, which is a little bit of an element, but not as creepy as it comes off. That is a delightful movie with that packs an emotional punch. I will
and
say
honestly,
that.
The father son relationship that meant a lot. I enjoyed that very much, and I feel like there's a lot more of that in the movie than there is the creepiness.
Yeah, not to spoil a movie that came out 7 years ago, but
was it really that long? Oh.
I think it was like somewhere around 2011. It is somewhat devastating. It's a really good movie.
And
I never thought we'd be talking about Time, starring Donald Gleason and Bill Nye.
Look,
but,
we're gonna get into the film
but
catalog
he is
of
playing Hux.
General Hux.
Yeah,
it's General Hux is in it,
and he is playing his character, Hux.
He is.
Okay. All right.
Let's be
cool.
honest.
He does say, I will go back in time and destroy the cherished fleet.
I think Bill Nye should be an Imperial First Order officer. Just,
oh, my God. Bill Nye should be everything and everything.
He could be in anything. Should we get to some actual news here? Before we move on, of course, follow us all over the place that you can. Follow us in person. Follow us online. We don't mind. Twitter, Droids Pod. Facebook, The Droids Podcast. Instagram, Droids Pod. You can email us, droidspod@gmail.com. We would greatly appreciate a review on iTunes. It helps us in a big way to get more people to listen to the podcast. Leave us a review, whatever you feel is appropriate. We would appreciate it, and check us out on all those different platforms. So, our first main topic of this edition of the podcast, we talked about the Super Bowl. We thought something might happen. There were a couple of hints that maybe we would get a teaser trailer during the Super Bowl. Instead, we only saw the Avengers and Captain Marvel. No word about Star Wars Episode 9. No maybe even moment of Disney Plus showing up and The Mandalorian. So it was a whole lot of nothing and a terrible game. And really, the most exciting thing was the Avengers teaser trailer. And I'm happy to talk about that.
Well, I am too. I do want to quickly give a shout out to a friend of mine, Andrew, who actually was the person who cut the Avengers Super Bowl spot. He is, bar none, one of the most talented people I've ever met, and he did a beautiful job with that. He also did some of the Last Jedi TV spots, I believe, and he's an incredible guy with an incredible talent, and congratulations to him because, you know, the world was set afire with his work this weekend.
Andrew, call in, or I don't know, somehow get in touch with me through Ryan and just talk to me about Chris Evans' jaw. I will look at that thing all day. Ugh. Chris Evans is like selling me on the Cap storyline. As much as I have, I mean, I think he and Robert Downey Jr. are both doing like excellent work in these movies, but like, I think Captain America's storyline, the Steve Rogers storyline, was like, it snuck up on me, you know, it was like a sleeper through
that term too.
Like, but you know, by the time we got to like, it was creeping in at like the end of Winter Soldier, but like really throughout like Civil War and Infinity War, I'm like, Steve's who I care about, you know? And I think they seem to know it, you know, the way they're kind of centering him in the early marketing for this movie. And they're of course focusing on Robert Downey Jr. as well, and he's also I think delivering amazing performances all across the last 10 years for these movies. But man, Chris Evans, what a like who'd have thunk?
Part of that is Captain America was shortchanged in Infinity War, And they knew they did that purposefully because they knew that Endgame was probably going to be a bigger focus on Steve Rogers than Infinity War. And they had so much story to tell and so many characters. I understand getting more bought in on Steve Rogers as time went on, but I was bought in from day one in terms of First Avenger. Once I saw that, I was all about the character. I thought this is one of my new favorite superheroes. I was not a reader of the Captain America comics. I had not read Civil War. I haven't really delved into much of the Avengers with the Marvel comic books. I had been more of a DC guy, and Captain America and Chris Evans' performance really got me invested. And I thought that the first movie was one of the better superhero films that I had seen and still stands that way, though I prefer Winter Soldier as my favorite Marvel film.
He has, I've been a fan of him as an actor since he was in this movie Sunshine that Danny Boyle made, if you haven't seen, you should definitely see. But I think that the way he has, I don't even want to say grow into the role because I think he was always so great. But I think that the way that Cap and he as a performer have become kind of the heart of the franchise, it really, like Sam said, it snuck up on me. By Winter Soldier, which is also my favorite of the Marvel movies, I was a Cap fan, you know, peripherally, just, you know, knowing what he meant to the Marvel universe from the comics. But he's never been like my guy or anything. But man, oh man, do I love how he is portrayed in these movies, and I think Chris Evans is tremendous.
You're right.
And seeing him in that, just that one like main shot of him in like what looks like a support group in the Endgame trailer, I was like, wow, like what he's managed to do with this role in what I guess it's coming up on 10 years for him as well, is just unbelievable.
I mean, can we also just to bring it back to one of my adjacent to one of my favorite topics, Batman, which is like, just to again highlight just how wrong they've gotten, like Superman, which I think that like what Chris Evans and they're doing with Captain America, like just shows. And I mean, this, I'm not saying this for the first time by any stretch, like a lot of people who are talking about superhero movies and in this context, like have said this, but it's like, they're showing you how to do Superman or how to do somebody who's good and altruistic and hopeful, and you can aspire to be them, and they can interact and operate in a world next to, you know, a more self-motivated and self-absorbed Tony Stark. And, you know, it shows like just some of the risks that Marvel took, you know, all the way back and sort of saying like, yeah, the trend was for dark, edgier superheroes that were flawed with, you know, in their core. And like, I mean, I guess every Marvel hero has his or her, you know, flaws. And we kind of saw some of Steve's in, I guess, Civil War. It sort of bore out. But like, generally speaking, it's like, man, dude's a good dude. And Evan sells it.
But credit to the writing that they've been able to give him enough to do with that role as it's developed. You have someone who has this incredible moral standard, this non-wavering standard, and then yet has to address things that is in a more complicated world than what he was expecting. That's kind of laid out in the plot. But they did that so well in Winter Soldier, and then it's carried on beyond that, that you continue to wonder where he fits in all of this, because what he believes in doesn't necessarily fit in the world that he and the time he's in. He's always been the soldier out of time, and so to see that develop throughout all the films, he's my favorite character, and he's the reason I keep coming back, to be honest. I was so disappointed by Civil War in the fact that it wasn't a Captain America story. It felt like an Avengers movie, because I just wanted so much more of Steve Rogers.
Well, enjoy your moments, because it looks like he's gonna go.
Nah, no way.
So other things of note, there were only, I think, three movie trailers during the Super Bowls, Super Bowl, which was Captain Marvel, and then there was a Fast and the Furious spinoff trailer, a little bit less than what we're used to, and no big moment like the dropping of Cloverfield Paradox from Netflix. I thought that would be a new standard. I guess Amazon introduced their Hannah show, which could be considered comparable in terms of the way they launched it. But
yeah, an interesting choice for them.
But otherwise, pretty uneventful in the Super Bowl, and I think we've now gotten to the point where it has to be Celebration will be the first time we see any footage of Episode 9. I think we'll get a title sometime in the next few weeks, but mid-April in Chicago in front of a sold, packed crowd in McCormick Place, that is where they will actually show footage of the film.
Yeah, I think, I mean, they did that with The Last Jedi, and I think, you know, it's probably infectious to be in that room. And I imagine that Rian Johnson and J.J. Abrams have had conversations about that experience, and maybe J.J. was like, I want some of that.
You think that, that J.J. is going to walk through the entire line and sign autographs for every single person who's lined up overnight for the panel like Rian Johnson did? Because
I don't think so, but Rian Johnson seems to be one of God's angels here on Earth. So, you know, we can't hold everybody to those standards. Maybe him and Steve Rogers, but... quickly, before we move on, I do want to give a tip of the cat to that Captain Marvel trailer, because that movie looks dope as hell. Brie Larson is a queen, and Ryan Fleck and Anna Boden directed it, and they are very cool former indie directors that are taking a big shot at a space adventure, and I'm very excited about it.
It looks amazing. It looks so good. I know I'm going to cry so much. I'm primed for just like an emotional sit at a movie,
yeah,
and that one's the next one, and like the Marvel's just at this point got me so invested in their entire franchise. I mean, even the movies of theirs that I like the least, the ones that over time, you know, don't work for me as well as some of the highest quality stuff, it's like that can still get me. That can still, like, I'm bought in on every one of these actors, on their characters. That's just how strong the both the writing, but just also just like the storytelling, which I know is part of writing, but like the overarching like storytelling has been so incredible. Like I care about these characters. I never would have.
Who says that when Chris is gone, we can't have a hot and fresh? Here's our hot and fresh. Marvel's doing it right.
That is in line with a Chris hot and fresh. That's for sure. Yeah.
Pan up, we see Kevin Feige standing over.
He's wearing a baseball hat.
He smiles like a Busey.
That's a weirdly specific thing I've never noticed, but does hold true. Yeah, thanks. Thanks for that.
Well, let's move on. We've sort of already hinted at this, but the title for episode 9 was not announced on Tuesday of this week during the earning call from Disney. Bob Iger, he did say one very interesting thing of note, that The Last Jedi was a phenomenal success for Disney. That was the words that he used. For anyone who sees this as a failure, that the movie did not do as well as it could have, it was over $1 billion at the box office. Apparently, the sales of the merchandise were huge and made a huge dent into the bottom line for Disney from what they saw from The Last Jedi and even probably the home Blu-ray. We talked about how that was the most highest selling Blu-ray of the year in 2018. There was no hurting on Disney's parts from the performance of The Last Jedi, despite the outcry from the group we've talked about far too many times on this podcast. So in that call, mentioned the success of The Last Jedi, but also... there was no information about episode 9 given away, and Anthony Daniels, C-3PO, the day before had a tweet that kind of made everybody in the Star Wars internet universe believe that the title would be announced the next day. They had announced the title of Rogue One in a previous quarterly earnings call, and then they'd also announced the Cassian Andor series in another one of those calls, so it did have precedent that they could announce the title of the film. They did not. So I'm not quite sure what Anthony Daniels was talking about. Maybe he had some bad information.
I feel like, what's up with my boy Anthony? I feel like maybe he, you know, they're wrapped on photography, right?
They're not. He has wrapped.
He's wrapped, right? Okay, so I think maybe
are they in the middle of reshoots? I feel like principal photography would be done by now.
I think my boy is maybe wrapped on, like, probably his, like, you know, final appearance. I'm guessing. In, you know, the role that's defined everything about his life.
I thought you were going to say I think maybe this was
a little bit of like him just, you know, sitting at home and kind of being like, Twitter, you up?
and Twitter said, I'll be over in 15 minutes.
Well, since
I mean, we all the big news this week is that there was no news.
But we were expecting news.
You know,
I did look, like, and he was, and you know, he it could have been Anthony Daniels referring to the earnings call and just in general
the news
know,
about the Last Jedi.
That there was some great news about the Last Jedi. There was some cool stuff coming, and those that those conferences often have interesting news. So maybe it was simply like him calling that out. Or and you know, drawing attention to it, you know, or it didn't say that it was like tomorrow, you know. He didn't name a time frame in his tweet, so it's like maybe there is a tease coming soon. Maybe there, you know, maybe there's something. I would not be surprised. We're talking a lot about. I do think like a trailer at Celebration makes the most sense. I wouldn't be totally shocked though if they did attach something to Captain Marvel.
Or Endgame.
I'd say Endgame
which is
seems more
slightly
likely.
Before
yeah.
Celebration.
That would be very fitting for the people who don't care about Celebration, who's the average Star Wars fan who would see it when Endgame came out. Endgame.
How many are supposed to pay attention to Endgame after that?
Endgame, yeah. Endgame comes out end of April, right? April 26th?
I think it's the 27th.
So that would be
there.
About a week and a half after Celebration. It would be the right time. Honestly, I think we figured it out. That's definitely how it all works.
You're right. I think they showed it at Celebration, and then it's attached to Endgame.
It's everywhere.
On the big screen.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, thank God. We figured it out. All right, guys.
All right,
we'll
wrap it up.
Week.
Good episode.
All right, next pod in May.
All right, so one thing we will do here is we're going to go around the horn, and Sam, if you want to guess Chris's version of this, let's give our guesses for what we think the title of Episode 9 is going to be. I've had one that I think I've been sitting on for a while. I believe I tweeted it out of our Droids Pod account on Twitter almost maybe 6-8 months ago. I think it will be Episode 9, A Spark of Hope, which is coming out of the crawl of Episode 8, which is where we found the Last Jedi was in the crawl of Episode 7. So A Spark of Hope is my bet.
Episode 9. Rey Kenobi.
Chris, I don't know about that, man. I'm not sure that that makes the most sense. I'll go ahead and go next, you know, with my guess. I actually, just before I go, Mike, I like your thinking on that. That's like super smart. I just thought like purely like myself on like, what would be a good title? And I like that you actually tied it to some past behavior that they've shown and stuff, and I do think that would make a great title. My suggestion is Episode 9, Rise of the Resistance.
Ooh, off the ride. Ooh, okay.
My guess is Episode 9, Ways of the Force, because I think that they're talking a lot about dichotomy and, you know, the dark side, the light side. Different ways of the Force. That's what I'm saying.
Is the eventual tie-in with the service ways a part of this where they're gonna have
forgot to say that because I know that they paid good money. Ways of the Force, W-A-Z-E of the Force. So
I mean, I think they actually could call it Ways of the Force the way you're intending it, and then also do a perfect marketing tie-in with
ways. Absolutely agree.
You can do both.
I absolutely agree, and I hope that my new employers at Lucasfilm Marketing think so too.
The rumored title that is going around, I think, has Chris, the real Chris, not the Sam version of Chris, in a bit of a tizzy, if I can call it that, is Balance of the Force.
Oh, you can call
Force.
It that. Chris is a person prone to tizzies.
Episode
I've
nine,
seen him in many a tizzy.
Episode 9, Balance of the Force, is what is going around on Reddit. Mm-hmm. I'm sure I'd be on board with time. It doesn't. You know, we talk about being grabbed by something. I don't really have anything to feel about that. I don't love it. But that's a rumor that's out there.
I don't like love it, but I also like have never had like hard opinions about the name of a Star Wars movie. You know, if it was Balance of the Force, like I think that that's like a little clunky, just like it's not it just phonetically.
It sounds like the video game version, to be honest.
Yeah, but like I'm certainly not going to be like, well, boo, I'm not going now. I'll tell you what, on that leaked like splash page, whether it's real or mocked up, whatever, you know, I do like that purple logo.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah.
Especially after they did the red on The Last Jedi, I thought the purple looked really cool. I like that kind of that they're venturing out from the yellow a little bit. I think that red Star Wars for The Last Jedi was the first time I've seen them do that.
Well, and let me ask Ryan. So this is what I was going to... So I agree. I think that mock-up looks really cool with the purple specifically.
Yeah.
But I also, like, despite liking the purple, I'm like, they got to stick with gold so that Last Jedi is the only one that's red. You know what I mean? Like, there's something really cool about having it, like, stand out in this weird, unique way.
I mean, there was Return of the Jedi. There was an alternate version of that that just said Return of the Jedi that was red, but the main title or the main image still was the yellow Star Wars, right. I believe. But there was that squared off version with Return of the Jedi and Star at the top and Wars in the bottom that was red, but that wasn't the main, I don't think that was the main poster for the film. Mm-hmm. Also, it's a very different era because we don't have thousands of bits of media and marketing for the film.
I don't know who versus now. Who knows if they even had brand guidelines back then? They were really feeling it out.
So those are our picks. If you want to send us your thoughts on what the title would be, you can tweet them at us, and then you can also send us an email, droidspod@gmail.com, Twitter, droidspod. Let us know what you think the title will be, because apparently we still have some time before this comes out. Before we move on, though, looking at the remaining 8 episodes of the Skywalker saga, which one of the titles is your favorite? Sam, let's start off with you.
So I'm torn, you guys. I think I'm going to go with The Empire Strikes Back. I think there's something that's like, it sets up the story like super well. It's like, it's a thing that I've seen riffed on everywhere. It's kind of like the sequel title, you know, of sequel titles. I'll tell you what I was really tempted by that I think is going to surprise you guys. I think my second favorite Star Wars title is The Phantom Menace. I love the word phantom. I think menace is a more evocative word than like threat or, you know, I actually like Phantom Menace is right up there for me. So who's next?
I'll go next. I'm going with The Last Jedi. I think that it's evocative. I think that it's a 3-word title. It's snappy. It has a beginning, a middle, and the end, and an end. You know, the, ooh, I'm interested. The last, oh my goodness, now we have some conflict. What is the last of? Jedi. Oh, now I'm in. You know, like, so that's really cool. My runner-up would be The Revenge of the Sith, because it's just so specific to use the word Sith in a title. You know, it's like even people... You know, I mean, by the time The Last Jedi came out, even Return of the Jedi came out, everyone knew what a Jedi was. But, like, a Sith is not like, you know, my grandpa doesn't know what a Sith is. So to use that in the title of something that is, like, a huge major motion picture release, I thought was gutsy. And I'm down for that. It's kind of like the Desolation of Smaug, but better. Because it's like, you know, people are like, who the hell is Smaug? And desolation's even a tough word. You know, like a 4-syllable word in a major blockbuster.
Yeah, revenge is a little better.
Yeah. Revenge of Dragon. That's what they should have named the Smaug one. Mike, what do you think?
I'm going with Empire Strikes Back for all the reasons already stated. But I'd have to say Last Jedi is second for me for, again, all the reasons that were already stated. Empire Strikes Back, I think part of that is just... When you hear that title, having seen the first one, you're kind of floored by it because you know that means the next one is going to be darker and the next one is going to bring turmoil to your favorite characters, because there's so much that comes from the idea of, oh, yeah, that Death Star, that wasn't the end. That wasn't the end of the story, them blowing up the Death Star. There's more to be had here, and that's why The Empire Strikes Back will always be up there for me. And The Last Jedi is... You know, it sent us into another one of those tizzies, I have to say, because we didn't know if it was singular or plural, And it was singular in the end. There was a lot that we could theorize about that. I'm excited about the theories we're going to come up with based on whatever episode 9 title is. So I look forward to what the 17 podcasts we will do about the title of episode 9.
Oh, yeah. At least. I'm also looking at the list right now, and I'm just like, man, Return of the Jedi is such a great title. And I'm so glad. I agree. Like, Ryan, I think revenge is a great word for a title, but like, I'm glad they changed it to Return of the Jedi. Like, it fits that movie, right?
Yeah,
you know, it's better for the film, because the movie's not a revenge movie. Not a revenge movie. It's, you know, so I'm like, man, look at that. You know, Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi. Like, ugh, perfect.
And think about what that implies. I mean, it probably dictated a lot of what The Force Awakens had to do, or at least The Last Jedi had to do. It had to show that Luke did start the Jedi again, based on the title, even mm-hmm. and the story of the final film. But you got the sense that they had to be like, well, we know that the Jedi returned. We can't have Luke just not try to restart the Jedi Order. That's what he had to do. Where it went from there was up to the storytelling of Rian Johnson and J.J. Abrams, but they did have to follow up on the title of the film.
Oh, can you imagine fanboy response if they hadn't?
Well, one of the titles we did not mention is one of our favorites. Had an interesting history, Attack of the Clones. Sam, you brought up an interesting moment with one of our favorites, Ewan McGregor, when that title was announced.
Yeah, it was great. I found it on IO9, or I guess Gizmodo, and there's a link. Maybe we can throw it up in the show notes. I don't know if we can play it here live, you know, if we were... you know, hey, look, we do this for free. Better prepared, maybe we could have. But there is video of Ewan McGregor on a red carpet with you know, the one, the only Dr. Chase Meridian from Batman Forever.
Yeah, no, it's right. You're good.
Okay, just making sure that we all do.
Oh, I thought we were talking about Denise Richards in the Bond film. That's what I thought we were talking about.
The one, the only, Tom Cruise's ex-wife.
No, he's with Nicole Kidman.
And it's not the one or the only.
He's with Nicole Kidman. And but they're on the red carpet, and somebody who's like off camera like asks him about like, oh, the new title, Attack of the Clones. And I think I will tell people that that Ewan's reaction like must be seen to be believed. It was a different time, where, you know, not like everything wasn't like structured and you know, planned out and prepped within an inch of its life for press, because his reaction is like quite funny. He seems to like have the reaction of someone who's like, I don't even know what that means. or like, isn't that absurd that that's the title of our movie? And I think it's a joy. And, you know, treat yourself. Just, I guess, Google like IO9, Ewan McGregor, Attack of the Clones or something.
So think about that for a moment. And Ryan, you're going to have to correct me, because you have seen Attack of the Clones many times more than I have.
I have.
There's not an attack, is there? They're just at the end.
Yeah. I mean, but there's not the Jedi don't return until the end of that movie.
Well, yeah, but they're not on their way to. I guess they're on their way to attack.
The implication was clearly like it was going back to the reference from the original Star Wars, A New Hope, where you know, Ben Kenobi talks about, you know, he knew his father during the Clone Wars. And so as soon as you hear a title, it's so loaded for Star Wars fans to hear Attack of the Clones. And it's like this, it's the classic sort of like complaint people have about.
Wait, but I'm confused. Like, what's a problem with the title based on what happens in the
movie?
Well,
my thought was is that like Ewan McGregor probably is reacting to, it's Attack of the Clones. I didn't do anything with clones where they were attacking in this movie. I guess you could say he's attacked by Jango. But Jango's not a clone.
Well, I mean, they're rescued. No one's saying that he's attacked by clones. At the end, they attack with a bunch of clones.
I think the problem, Ryan,
I'm trying to explain what his confusion was, I guess.
You know who feels like
confused.
There was an attack of the clones? The people of Geonosis.
It's But if you like, if you're asking like, oh, what's the problem with the title? I think it's like the obvious setup was like there was an assumption, like everybody had like the Clone Wars built out in their head, and I think many people, I haven't read about it or researched it, but I know like certainly my perception, and I think a lot of people's perception, was that it was like a war over or against clones in some way, which I like, obviously it kind of like became about, right? But like the movie Attack of the Clones, like it's just like it's not Jedi fighting clones, and like the attack is like really more of like it's like a raid or rescue mission by clones. It's not like attack implies like it feels like the Empire Strikes Back, right? It feels like, oh man, the clones, you know, put a wall up on the good guys or something, and that's like not at all what happens. And like, I don't know. I don't think the end like really feels like the clones are attacking, because it's like laid out as like a military strike against a provocation, as opposed to like, I think of an attack as being like unprovoked or like something that was like the first move.
Yeah, so surprise or surprise attack of some kind. But the people of Geonosis, right,
are your nits adequately picked? I guess a surprise rescue mission by clones and Jedi was not a snappy enough title for episode 2.
It could have been Attack on Geonosis.
Attack on Geonosis. That would have done it. Butts in seats, baby.
That would have done it.
Episode 2, The Geonosis Crusade.
Moving on. Yeah. Our last bit of news in this edition of the podcast, Galaxy's Edge. We've talked about some of the bits of news that have been breaking about the theme park, that where there was going to be a comic book series. There's been now another announcement that the lore for Galaxy's Edge is ever expanding. There will be the comic book series with our favorite Doc on Dar. The podcast is starting soon. Get ready for Doc on Dar. We'll have that ready to go, led by Ryan, shortly. But also, there will be two novels, one that will be an adult kind of facing novel, and then a young adult novel, and then a book of fables all about Blackspire Outpost and the planet of Batuu, so we can learn more and more with more hints, more clues, and hopefully more things that get you secret gifts or collectibles within the park with all of this different forms of media that you can consume before you ever enter into the gates of Galaxy's Edge.
This is all very exciting. Mike, I'd like to give you a tip of the cat for using the term adult-facing novels. Because we all know what you were trying to avoid saying, and it was successful.
Thank you.
Yeah, this is dope.
I'm the one on the podcast who read a trilogy of books that Ryan and I agreed to read, so I'm down for you know, reading more of the lore. I do think it's like, I mean, I do think all of this around the theme park is like both incredibly exciting and like just even more transparent than any of like Disney's other sort of like commodification and marketing, in like a way that's like, I do think it's kind of funny, like, that they're now like saying like, you have to buy the comic series and the books to get the backstory for the theme park where we're going to sell you a bunch of crap. Like, you know,
I don't think they're saying you have to. It's very much a, if you would like to learn more, if you don't read any of this stuff, you can still go to the park.
And who are they targeting it at?
Maybe.
A bunch of doofuses who've proven over the last 40 years that they'll buy anything.
I'd like to point out that in episode 3, Revenge of the Sith, my second favorite title of the Star Wars franchise, oh my god, I'm drawing a blank. General Grievous walks in with a crushed chest and no explanation of why, and if you want to know why, you have to watch the Cartoon Network Clone Wars cartoon to understand the backstory of that, available now on DVD. So I don't think that this is a new thing that Disney is really, maybe they're pioneering it, but they're certainly not making it up. And there's a lot of precedent in Star Wars to be made for product tie-ins.
Look, absolutely. I do think, I don't know. I think the point I was, and maybe I didn't maybe this wasn't the point I made, but a point I guess I'd like to make, or that I was trying to make, is like, to me, it feels like particularly transparent in a way that I think is like kind of funny. I don't know. That's all I'm saying. It's like,
I think you gotta go back to
a series of books now for a theme park, you know?
I mean, as you said, Ryan, George has been doing this for decades, and the Jar Jar, what was it, tongue lollipop, where you licked Jar Jar's tongue. I think there's been a few other crass ways to make money out of Star Wars beyond these. I don't see this as too far or too overt, more overt than anything else.
Mike, I'm not familiar with that product. I don't think I shop in those types of stores, but
yeah,
it was a kid's.
What kind of
it was a
what kind of
candy.
Adult-facing store did you find that in?
Oh, that's a tip of my cat to you there, Ryan. I appreciate that one.
I just want to say that I don't think that joke got nearly the response it should have.
I loved it. I thought it was hilarious.
Just wait for the tweets, my man. They're going to be rolling in.
Speaking of those tweets, you can follow us on Twitter, Droids Pod, Facebook, The Droids Podcast, Instagram, Droids Pod. Please leave us a review, rate us on iTunes. We would be forever in your debt, and send us an email at droidspod@gmail.com. Let us know your picks, your guesses for the title of episode 9. Email us, droidspod@gmail.com, and we will figure out who was right in just a few short weeks. That is going to do it for this edition of The Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast. We will be back next week, and who knows what news we will have to share with you a week from now. That'll do it for this edition of the pod.
We are what they grow beyond.
Annie?
You boys want to go to medieval times?
Hey, yo, Chewbacca.
Millennial Falcon.